Welcome to Taiwan Report News Brief, news and analysis from Taiwan. I'm Donovan Smith. Up today on the show, we've got more virus measure updates. The CECC shoots down calls to launch a crackdown on undocumented caregivers. Ko Wen-je turns 18. And more on the KMT chair race that's heating up now. Kicking off in the Taipei Times, new traffic rules target drunk drivers. People who have their driver's license revoked after three drunk driving convictions must now undergo a three-month program for alcohol addiction. Drunk drivers whose licenses have been suspended and need to retake the driver's exam will now have to attend a 15-hour 2,800 NT course on drunk driving, for which they must pay for themselves. People retaking the driver's exam, whose previous license was revoked due to a drunk driving charge, must now have an ignition interlock device installed in their vehicle for 1 year and register themselves with their local motor vehicle's office. They must also visit the manufacturer of the device each month for its data to be downloaded. The device administers a breath alcohol test before allowing the vehicle's engine to start, and a second test 5 minutes later. Every 45 to 60 minutes, the driver is prompted and given 15 minutes to pull over and undergo another test. Failure to comply would result in the engine shutting off and the steering wheel locking, which can only be remedied by towing the vehicle to the device's manufacturer. So it seems they're definitely cracking down. In the Taipei Times, again, virus outbreak, railways announce protective steps. The Taiwan Railways Administration and Taipei Rapid Transit Corp yesterday each announced new measures to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Mass gatherings and sitting on the ground are banned in the hall at Taipei Main Station. Now, this is clearly targeted at workers in the country who come mostly from Southeast Asian countries. They congregate together because it's the center point of the city, and they can get there by train and by MRT and congregate there, socialize, meet their friends, make new friends. So this is something that I think that for the community that meets there will be quite a blow. Now, it may be logical from a disease prevention perspective, I suppose, but obviously for the people impacted, this will seriously impact on their social lives. Again, in the Taipei Times, Taipei hotels help meet its quarantine needs. The Taipei city government yesterday said that it is collaborating with two hotels that are providing 40 rooms to meet quarantine needs amid the COVID-19 epidemic. Obviously, if there are other guests in the hotel, they may be somewhat concerned. Over at Focus Taiwan, CECC chief opposes stepping up enforcement on undocumented caregivers. The Central Epidemic Command Center chief said Saturday he is opposed to launching a crackdown on undocumented migrant caregivers at a time when Taiwan's healthcare workers are already heavily burdened with efforts to contain the COVID-19 coronavirus. Quote, I disagree with the need to strengthen reporting of undocumented workers at present. For hospitals, it doesn't matter if one is a documented or undocumented migrant worker or a family member of a patient, Health Minister Chen Shizhong said at a press conference. What matters to us is whether that person has any questionable travel history or illnesses and if he or she knows how to look after the patient. Although he, of course, discourages the hiring of undocumented caregivers, Chen said stepping up crackdown on those workers at this moment would only create a sudden shortage of people to look after patients and place more strain on healthcare professionals. So this is one aspect of the response that the Tsai administration has launched, is that it is primarily based around the experts and the scientists involved. In this case, these are healthcare professionals who very rightly, I think, put basic human health needs before any documented, undocumented, or any other issue. And I think that the health minister is spot on in prioritizing people and healthcare first. Okay, over to Minshi. I think they're FTV, if memory serves. Kuenza, he posted up a picture of himself when he's 18. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see the picture. And he looks like a somewhat goofy younger version of himself. It's kind of a cute picture. But he's coming out in favor of dropping the voting age to 18. Now, to lower the voting age to 18 requires a change of the Constitution, but at this point, every single major party that's, or all the parties, I should say, that are in the legislature have all expressed support for this. Okay, over to the KMT chair race and the Central Standing Committee race. Now, there's 44 people vying for 29 seats on the committee. However, of these people, there's three, which is labor, indigenous, and special needs, which it looks like they already have the candidates sorted out for. So really what's left over is 44 people vying for 29 seats. Now, the KMT sets aside a number of seats for a variety of different issues. Aside from the ones that I just mentioned, there's eight for women, for young people, which they specify as 40 and under. They've got two. They've also got for agriculture and labor. So they set aside these so that they have representation from various different aspects of society. Now, in the race itself, moving over to the China Times, according to unnamed sources quoted in the China Times, vote buying is taking place, and also taking people out to banquets, feeding them, and so on and so forth to attempt to sway the vote. Now, apparently, the votes right now are being bought, according to their unnamed sources, for 2,000 NT a vote. Now, what's very interesting here is that in this article, there's nothing very specific here about who's buying on whose behalf. Is there more vote buying on behalf of Hao Longbin or on Johnny Chang? It's not clear from the article, and it could be that they're doing it at roughly equal measures. We don't know. Now, there was another article which disappeared, but it was a UDN piece, which was interesting, and the link no longer works. But it did say two things. One is that the number of disqualified members has now reached 2,000. And another quote that I found very interesting is that according to this UDN report, they said that this particular KMT chair race is the hardest to predict or the hardest for the press to know what's going to happen. So this suggests that there's a lot of speculation on both sides as to who might win. And I find that very interesting because, as I've mentioned before, who the party picks says a lot about where the state of the party is at. Hao Longbin very much looks like the KMT membership. He's an old line mainlander, and he comes from a military family, and he's the son of Hao Po-Tsun, former premier and head of the military. So he's an old school princeling. He very much resembles the makeup of the party. He's older, he's in his late 60s, and under normal circumstances, he would definitely be the odds-on favorite to win. Now, I still think he's the odds-on favorite to win, but there's no way to know for sure because the last two elections, the KMT got seriously crushed, and that is going to have an impact on the psyche of the party. If they want to move the party forward, they'll probably go with Johnny Chang or Jiang Jicheng, who's a KMT Paul from Taichung. He's associated with the Red faction, and he's a local Taiwanese boy. So, and he's also 47 years old. So if they go for him, that suggests that the party is willing to take a chance and they have really taken the lessons of the last two defeats to heart. If they go for Hao, that suggests that they haven't. All right, one last thing I'd like to add. What's interesting about this KMT chair race is so far I haven't, and correct me if I'm wrong if you've seen something that I haven't, but I have not been seeing much in the way of high-level KMT figure endorsements of the candidates. Now, to be fair, there have been some. Jason Hu, the former mayor of Taichung, came out and joined Hao Longbin when he registered his candidacy, which was a bit of a blow to fellow Taichunger Johnny Chang. The Yen family in Taichung, which is very powerful in black faction, they've come out in support of Johnny Chang. But overall, I haven't seen any major endorsements out of people like Ma Ying-jeou, Hou Youyi, Liu Xiaoyan. These people, they haven't been coming out and giving any endorsements that I've been aware of. Now, that may change in the next few days, and it's definitely something to keep an eye on. Now, I have a little bit of a theory on this, and it may be because this is a by-election. Or it could be that they just simply don't want to get involved because they don't know who's going to win, and so they're keeping their powder dry so they can work with whoever the next chair is. I really don't know, but it is definitely something to watch in the next few days. The election's on March 7th, so we'll see by then if anyone comes out with big endorsements. All right, that's it for today's show. Remember to check out all the English articles that we use today on report.tw. We post an update there every day, so there's always something new to check out. And of course, be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube if that's where you're watching, or subscribe to us on the podcast if that's what you're listening to. Remember to stick with us. Come back tomorrow. There's a whole lot going on. News is always flowing. So see you tomorrow.
This has been brought to you by the Taiwan Report. For more content like this, become our patron at report.tw.
哎呦，就是那个台湾狗啦，最喜欢我的台湾狗了。